verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, is still speaking. Speaking from the grave. That Abel is still speaking from the grave, even though he's dead. Well, Abel, what was his voice coming up out of the ground? Hey, follow God. Hey, do the will of God. Was it coming out? No. What was speaking from the grave? His testimony, his life, was still touching the life of others.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message, Prince Without a Body. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Prince Without a Body.
Fried chicken, potato salad, collard greens. So I was excited. But every Friday night in the home, it wasn't in the church, it wasn't in the hall, it was in the home. Every Friday night, we were faithful to this Bible study. And we taught this Bible study. And you know, out of that Bible study came three pastors of churches. Just out of just being faithful to teach the Word of God. So if you go and you dust in Lynchburg, Virginia, you're going to see some prints of Bill and Angie Glaze, because we invested our lives in people long before God ever called me to preach, long before God ever called me to be a pastor. Just being led by God, leaving prints on somebody's life. Where are your prints being left? I like the story of John Getty. He was a Canadian missionary who went to the New Hebrides tribe, and he found a group of cannibals, and they were involved in violence, in theft, and cannibalism. And he ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ to him, and he died and was buried. And they had a commemorative tablet on the island where he was at, and this is what it said. In memory of John Getty, when he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathen. Fingerprint. Fingerprint. Touching the lives of other people. That your life is going to touch somebody's life. There's a poem that I have put up here. My life shall touch a dozen lives before the day is done. I will leave many fingerprints before the setting sun. This is my desire, this prayer I always pray. Lord, may my touch leave a beautiful print on someone else today. Where are you leaving your prints? Whose life have you made an impression on? A lasting impression on. You see, God has called us all. As I heard the song said, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. So brighten the corner where you are. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Well, what does that mean? That means wherever I'm at, that's where my hands are at. If I'm at Bethany Baptist Church, that's where my hands are right now. Tomorrow, when I get in my car and I go to my job, that's where my hands will be. If I go out into the community and I get involved in community service, that's where my hands are at. And so what did he say? He said, wherever your hands are at, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. What is he saying? Leave a print somewhere. Leave your prints somewhere. And not ungodly, wicked prints, but leave a print to the glory of God. Moses left fingerprints. The second thing we see is that Moses left footprints. He left footprints. Look what it says in verse 11. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Moses walked in Egypt. He walked up to Pharaoh. He walked up to Pharaoh's servants. He walked in all the land of Egypt, and Moses left his footprints in the land of Egypt. Now, we want to leave footprints. And when we leave our footprints, we want to leave our footprints so that others can follow in us. You know, this morning as I was praying and I was just thinking about when I first came to Bethany over 25 years ago, and all the people who were in the church then that have gone on to glory, and how that they left footprints for us to follow. And how that we are having right now a worldwide impact through the radio ministry, through missionaries, through television ministry, that we are impacting the whole world. Why? Because we followed in the footsteps of the saints that came before us, because they were walking the right way. You know, I was sharing how that, you know, we're trying to build this new sanctuary, and how that, you know, there were saints that, you know, I would drive up to the church and I would see them walking around the church, walking around this property right here, every morning, praying. That on Friday night, some of the saints would hold a prayer meeting just for this building right here. And we would pray every Friday night. And how that they laid the way, that they laid the footprint for us to follow. Saints, I pray to God that we are laying godly footprints for those that are coming after us to follow. As I had another poem that I wanted to share this morning. If you could put that other on the headstone of one grave, this was found. Remember me as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. Prepare for death and follow me. And so somebody wrote on the bottom of it, to follow you, I am not content until I know where you went. I don't want to follow somebody until I know where they're going. You know, I want to make sure that they're walking right. As I, you know, because some people, if you follow them, they're going to lead you to a mess. They're going to lead you right into a mess. You know, I know sometimes, I mean, I go out and cut my grass. I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but sometimes I go out and cut my grass, and some of my neighbors who have dogs let their dogs relieve themselves in my yard. And me not knowing that the dog relieved itself in my yard, stepped right into the mess. And so, you know, if you follow some folk, they're going to lead you right into a mess. And you're going to get stink all over your shoes. That's why you need to be careful who you follow. You need to be careful who you are going after. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, it's said that this verse right here is actually presenting a picture of how people used to travel at night when it was dark. And what they would do, they would put little lamps on their shoes because, you know, they figured that it didn't make that much difference, you know, as you were walking, you know, what you saw up high. The important thing is that you saw what was down low, because, you know, you didn't want to step in a hole, or you didn't want to step in something, again, that you shouldn't have stepped in. So they would put these little lamps on their feet, and they would walk real slow and make sure that they were walking steady. The psalmist said, thy word is the lamp on my feet and a light unto my path. That I'm going to put the word on my feet And I'm going to walk according to the word. And as I walk according to the word, let me share with you two things. You might want to write these down. The first thing is that if you walk according to the word, that you are going to be correct. You are going to walk correct. Let me give you two verses that you need to look at. Since we're in Psalm 119, let's just go to verse 133. Psalm 19, 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. That if I want to leave good footprints for people to follow, that I need to walk according to the word of God. I need to let God's word guide my steps. I need to let God's word guide my feet, so that as I walk and as I come across things and as I deal with things, how is the word of God guiding me? How is the word of God directing me? Look at Psalm 37 and verse 23. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good person. That if you want to walk correct, you have to walk according to the word of God. And the word of God will not lead you astray. The word of God will not lead you wrong. That's why when we get up in the morning, we need to spend time in the word of God. And throughout the day, you know, we need to meditate on the word of God. I like to listen to oldies, and I like to listen to music back in the 70s. But you know what? Sometimes I might throw a few oldies on. But you know what I try to do during the day? I try to listen to good preaching on the radio, or listen to good music that's glorifying the Lord. Why? Because that's getting the word of God in my spirit. And it's helping me to do what? It's helping me to walk according to the word of God. And that's what really counts. Are you leaving footprints that other people can follow? You know, just think about that. If you were somehow to make paint of your shoes or paint on the bottom of your shoes, and you were able to leave some footprints, where would your footprints lead other people? Would they lead them to wholesome and righteousness, or would they lead them into wickedness? You know, let's even make it easier. You know, man, praise God. My wife, she went to my granddaughter's school for open house. And I know I'm not saying this exactly right, but I'm going to get it close. That they went and were looking at, you know, the children's work, and they asked my granddaughter, on this card or on this piece of paper, who do you most admire and who do you most want to be like? And she said, my grandmother. I said, praise God. Praise God. Order my steps. Order my steps. Let the children, let walk in such a way where the children want to emulate us. Walk in such a way where the children want to walk in our steps. So we got to walk correct. And notice the second thing is that we need to have an influential walk. An influential. That our footprints need to affect the lives of other people. Put up that verse from the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13. Look what it says here, the New Living Translation. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but be. Whoa, look at that, saints. Look at that. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. That your walk needs to have influence. That's what that verse is saying right there. That if you are walking correct, that your walk needs to have influence. It needs to be touching somebody else's life. That, you know, there's a whole lot. I was watching television the other day, And they were showing highlights of the MTV Awards. And Kanye West, you know, said that he was running for president in 2020. Now, we're laughing now, right? We're laughing now. But you know what? He got a lot of what? He got a whole lot of influence. He got a whole lot of influence. And so, you know, Kim Kardashian, first lady, right? See, that's why, you know, the people of God. You know, one of the things that I did when I was off, you know, I went to church somewhere, just about somewhere every Sunday, and I visited all kinds of churches. And there's a couple mega churches, because I was trying to see what people were doing, you know. And so I visited a couple big churches, and man, it was just filled with people. I mean, just filled with people. And I thought to myself, I said, all these churches that I've gone to, and I see all these Christians, man, we ought to have a stronger voice in the world than what we have. You know, I'm just saying, in Pittsburgh, you go in churches and you see thousands of people. Man, we ought to have a voice. Because what? If we're walking right, then what? Then we should be influencing other people. We should be touching the lives of other people. Who is following in your footsteps? Moses, he left fingerprints, he left footprints, and then the third thing, he left blueprints. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, who the Lord knew face to face. When Moses came face to face with God at the burning bush, what was Moses' objective from that point on? Was to lay a blueprint for people as to how they could come in contact and communication with God. What was his blueprint? His blueprint, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And the first five books of the Bible all deal with what? Leading people to God. You look at some of the stuff that he talked about, the tabernacle and all the things in there, and how all that pointed to Jesus Christ. Moses' heart, Moses' passion, Moses' drive was to lead people to God. That was the blueprint that he set forth. And if you think about the blueprint that he left, one of the single most greatest documents in the history of mankind, almost unparalleled, I'm not saying the greatest, but one of the greatest, is the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows the Ten. I mean, you might not know them word for word. That would be a challenge right now. Challenge yourself. Can you quote the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Every Christian should know the Ten Commandments. Go ahead and quote them then, Pastor. What's your bad self? I'm glad you asked. But just think. You know, everybody has heard of the Ten Commandments. And they have until, again, we enter into this post-Christian era, where, you know, up until a certain point, they were in the courthouse and they were in public places. And now what are they doing? They're removing the Ten Commandments from all these places because they are now politically correct. They're offensive to people, all right? So, but that, just think, Moses put a document, well, God wrote it, and Moses brought it and gave it to people, and it has affected societies throughout the history of mankind. Moses laid forth a blueprint. You know, even if you look at the Ten Commandments, there's a blueprint in there, what? To draw closer to God. He laid out a blueprint to draw closer to God. That you should have no other gods before me. Then, you know, then he jumps in, you jump into the New Testament and you see that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the God, that Yahweh. And so we understand that was his passion, that was his desire. What blueprints are you leaving behind? You know, again, Moses left no grave, he left no headstone, but he left a powerful influence. He left a powerful testimony. And you know what? When you are gone, you know, a lot of people, other than the ones that knew you and love you, are going to kind of forget about you. And then once those people are gone, then then you're probably going to be pretty much a forgotten item, right? But your prince. Oh, hallelujah. Your prince. Because, see, the prince do what? They pass on from one generation to the next generation. Your footprints, your fingerprints, your blueprints. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, is still speaking. Speaking from the grave. That Abel is still speaking from the grave, even though he's dead. Well, Abel, what was his voice coming up out of the ground? Hey, follow God. Hey, do the will of God. Was it coming out? No. What was speaking from the grave? His testimony, his life, was still touching the lives of other people. And as we think about these blueprints, there are two aspects of these blueprints. We point others to God by our words, and we point others to God by our life. We point others to God by our words, and we point others to God by our life. Let me close with this, if you'll put that. I like the song, Lift Him Up, because it illustrates the point that I'm trying to make. How to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. So as we lift up Jesus, as we lift up Jesus with our words, then people will be drawn to God. You know, we have too many secret agent Christians that, you know, we don't let people know that we're a Christian until we feel comfortable or until we feel safe. And, you know, we don't want to stand out. We don't want to upset the apple cart. We don't want to ruffle people's feathers. But we need to lift up Jesus. You know, I'm not saying beat people over the head. I'm not saying carry your giant print Bible around and preach sermons. I'm just saying at some point, you got to lift Jesus up. You got to lift him up. I've told the story about Evie Hill. He said that there was a lady in California. They didn't know how old she was, and so they just called her Sister 1900. They figured that she was born in the 1900s. And she would sit on the front row, and preachers would come and preach, and she would just sit on the front row and say, lift him up, lift him up. And one preacher said, you know, he said, when I preach today, I'm going to lift up Jesus, and she's going to, you know, have to stop saying that, saying lift him up. And so he was preaching, and she kept saying lift him up, and he stopped in the middle of his sermon. And he said, but Sister 1900, he said, I am lifting him up. She said, well, lift him up a little bit higher. Lift him up with your words. But then lift him up with your life. Lift him up with your life. Lift him up by living as a Christian ought. Let the world in you the Savior see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I will draw all men unto me. The blueprint. You lift him up with your words, and you lift him up with your life. How about you, my friend? That after you're gone, will you leave some fingerprints, some footprints,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time as we begin a new series titled Weapons of Our Warfare. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Prince Without a Body, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Prince Without a Body. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Prince Without a Body. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.